1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Well, welcome to the program. In just a bit, Blake Bernier will join us. We'll have our weekly look at high school football, as we're in football season. Of course, we'll switch out to basketball once that arrives. Before we get to Blake, just to bring you up to date on some information from yesterday, the OVC announcing its slate of conference basketball games across the ESPN networks for this coming season. Murray State's going to get two games. Their game January 24th at home against Belmont will air on ESPNU at 8 p.m., and then they get a Valentine's Day contest at Austin Peay on ESPNU at 6 p.m. ESPN will air six regular season contests and three OVC tournament games on one of their linear networks. And remember, this year, 209 men's and women's regular season conference games will be streamed on ESPN+, as will 110 non-conference contests. Murray State men's basketball picking up a couple of verbal commitments yesterday. Ed Marlowe and I told you about 6'3 point guard Chico Carter signing out of Cardinal Newman High School in South Carolina. Minutes later, 6'6 forward Matt Smith from Independence High School in North Carolina signed. Well, there's a connection there. Both were AAU teammates for Team Charlotte out of North Carolina. The Racer men's team begins practice on Friday. Also, yesterday, the women's team started practice. Second-year head coach Rochelle Turner only has three players back from her 11-19 team that finished the regular season 3-3 over the final six games to clinch a spot in the OVC tournament. Despite a lack of returnees, Turner says expectations are elevated because of a lot of new talent on the roster. You'll get your first chance to see them November 1st in a home exhibition game against Lindsey Wilson. Softball plays today against John A. Logan, a doubleheader at 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. at Racer Field. These were games that were supposed to be played this past weekend. Those were rained out. And in volleyball tonight, Murray High at Christian Fellowship, Callaway County at Marshall County, and in girls and boys soccer, Callaway County at Marshall County, and a boys-girls Twinville. Let's bring in Blake Bernier as we get to the next week of high school football. First of all, let's look back at last week for the Callaway County Lakers. Let's start with them. Give me a kind of a recap on what happened last week, Blake.
Well, you know, Callaway County going against a very tough district opponent, Madisonville North Hopkins. We kind of looked at them before the game and said, it's a big team. You're going to have to play flawless football in order to beat a team like this. They're, in my opinion, the district favorites. Obviously, Logan County's up there too. But, you know, Callaway gets the ball first. We're driving. We get down inside their 30, and then, you know, we fumble the ball. And Madisonville North Hopkins takes over. They drive down, and then we pick them off. And it's like, well, you know, we're being competitive here in this game. We're staying close. We made up for that mistake. Moments later, we fumble it again. And from that point on, it just kind of all snowballed in the wrong direction. We had a bad snap on a punt that went over Clark's head, and he ended up downing it at the one-yard line, just falling on it. Smart play. He didn't give up the touchdown right away, but very next play, they QB sneak it in, and all of a sudden, it's a 14-0 game. With 6 minutes and something left in the second quarter, it was 36-0, and we had running clock. Our first running clock game of the season.
Okay.
Offense responded pretty well in the second half. We were able to put 14 points on the board. We did give up one more touchdown, so I think the final on that one was 42-14. But, you know, it was good to see them respond there in the second half and actually put some points on the board with that running clock. Because we had good things going in the first half. It was just once those two fumbles and then the bad snap occurred, it's almost like every bit of wind went out of their sails.
Oh, man.
And so you go into halftime, they came back out, rejuvenated, re-energized, and able to put some points on the board. So it was a positive way to end that game. And now this week's game is the one that is an absolute must-win.
And you wouldn't think that in Game 2, but in Game 2 of district play, I should say. But it really is, because this is a team that is beatable. It's a five-team district. Win this game, and it likely punches their tickets into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, and the Hopkins County Central is absolutely a winnable game. Last year it was 28-23. We should have won it last year. Gave up that last-minute touchdown when we were playing our, essentially what I called a 4-6 bear, and he was sending everybody, leaving man-to-man on the outside with a lead. And we gave up a long passing touchdown. That kind of sealed our fate there. I do think Hopkinsville is beatable as well this year because they lost their starting quarterback in Bland. So you know, we could pick up another win in district against Hopkinsville later on in the season, but it's better to go ahead and knock this one out right now and punch your ticket.
So that's what they'll be looking to do. Now, what is Hopkins Central, as opposed to last year to this year, return a lot of the same players?
Well, actually, they returned literally everyone.
Wow.
That was an impact player from last year's team. They get their quarterback, Jackson Bergant, back. He is completing just under 50% of his passes, but he has 728 yards, 8 touchdowns with 8 picks. But the 8 touchdowns is impressive because he has 6 different receivers with touchdowns. You don't see that a lot in high school. It's typically one or two guys that are your go-to guys. They have 6 different guys that have caught touchdowns, and then they have running back Michael Powell back. He has over 400 yards and 2 touchdowns. The 2 wide receivers that absolutely destroyed us last year, Adrian Stringer, who was a sophomore at the time, and Blazin Moore, who was a freshman, they both return. And last year in the game against Callaway, 3 touchdowns on 11 catches for 248 yards.
Wow, that's good.
And then on the defensive side, they bring back their 2 big-time defensive players in Cyrus and Silas Kington, the brothers. Last year, they led the team in tackles with a combined 147 tackles on the year and 2 fumble recoveries. Last year in the game against Callaway, they had 19 tackles. So literally every major player from last year's win against Callaway is back again. I just think that this year's game is going to be so much more different because, again, we were running that 4-6 bear. We were blitzing 7 or 8 guys every play, leaving man-to-man on the outside. And they took advantage by hitting Stringer and Moore on these quick slants and go routes. And that's kind of where the problem lied. We still had 3 interceptions in that game. You know, we actually scored our first ever defensive touchdown of the season last year in that game. Offense couldn't get anything going against them. The Kington brothers absolutely shut down the middle. The run game was non-existent like it was most of last year. We scored our only offensive touchdown on a trick play. I just think that this year's offense is so much more better than what last year's was. And then defensively, we're not going to be sitting there sending 8 every play. So we should come away with the win. As much talent as they bring back, we have more. And at the end of the day, we've just got to go out and execute. And the one thing we've got to cut down on is the turnovers. We've turned the ball over too many times the last 3 games.
6:30 airtime, 7 o'clock kickoff. WBZB will have the game for you. We'll also stream that online. We'll have the link posted for you. And by the way, are they still going to play any home games there at Jack Rose Stadium? Are they planting a crop or something there, getting some strawberries maybe growing? What?
Well, you know,
this is crazy.
When they created the schedule, I noticed it immediately as they had, you know, the 2 home games, and then they had the 5-game stretch of road games.
Nothing to do with Coach Champion, though, right?
No, I mean, it's just that's the way we're
set
up.
Buddy,
you know, 2 home games, 5 road games, and then back at home for your last 3.
All right.
So our last 3 will be, we'll have Hopkinsville at home, Logan County at home, and Graves County at home.
I thought maybe they'd sold the stadium. I'd missed the story. Wasn't sure. Didn't know, but that's good. I'm glad they're going to be home somewhere down the line.
Yeah, no, our next one's at Fulton County, so we got another drive.
Okay.
But after that, it's over. No more road trips.
All right. Well, that one will be that'll be a blast, no doubt about that. Let's talk about the top-ranked team that comes to Murray, and that is Mayfield. Mayfield is unbeaten. They got a big win over another unbeaten last week, Corbin, when they played at Austin Peay. And Murray's played well lately. They've won 3 straight. It's a big district game for them, but let's be honest. It's house money for the Tigers, probably not expected to win. So they go in with everything to gain and really nothing to lose. But they're playing about as well as they can be, but this is a really good Mayfield team.
Yeah, I've got Mayfield winning. I've looked at this game a few times, and no matter how I play it out in my head, I just can't see any way for Murray to actually pull off the win, because Mayfield's Mayfield. And they're talented, they're disciplined, they're smart. Their quarterback, Stinson, has 19 touchdowns with 0 interceptions. He has over 1,500 yards passing. And then their running back, Kent Trey Matthews, over 800 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns on the ground. So pick your poison there. You're going to stop the air game or you're going to stop the ground game. And then, you know, this offense is averaging 47 points per game at this point. And I don't expect anything less Friday night. You know, as good as Murray's been playing, I played it out multiple times. And there's just There's no scenario I see where Murray can come away with a win. I'd love to see a close game, but I just don't predict any kind of Murray win.
And over the years, Mayville has had much better defensive teams than this one. This one does give up some points, but man, this is one of the best offensive teams they've had in a long time because they can just pile them up, and they don't ever seem to be rattled. You score a touchdown or two against them, no problem. They'll come right back and score one or two on you. It's just crazy.
Well, I mean, when you can score through the air and on the ground at such the rate that they are, I mean, you have nothing to fear.
Yeah. I think the Tigers, they'll have to play perfect, have a little help from Mayfield with maybe some turnovers, maybe a key penalty or two here or there. But again, it's nothing to lose, and Murray wins. That's awesome for them. But if they don't, they're still in good shape as far as the district is set up. A huge rivalry game. This is now a district game, too, in 5A, and that is Marshall County playing at Graves County. These teams have roller-coastered a little bit. Marshall's had good moments and bad moments, Graves County as well, but they're coming off a really nice win this past week.
Yeah, they got a big win against Apollo last week, and the offense showed up out of nowhere against Apollo for Graves County. And I've got Graves winning that one. Goatley had over 200 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns last week. And Ryan Mathis threw for over 250 yards and 4 touchdowns. So they were able to get it done both through the air and on the ground. And, you know, Apollo was a 4-1 team going into that game. And we kind of were writing Graves off with all their injuries and everything that was going on with them. But you know, Coach Gregory had them just come out and play excellent for 4 quarters. And, you know, congrats to Graves on the win. And I expect them to start making this into a weekly thing now. And we've seen Marshall. Marshall has a great ground game, but not a whole lot through the air. And I think Graves' defense will take advantage of that.
We have Tillman at Trigg County. Tillman, I was kind of surprised, not really that they lost to Caldwell County. Caldwell's really good, but it's a 15-point game. I thought if they did lose, it would be probably maybe nipped a 1-point, 2-point, 3-point game. But Tillman, we'll see if they rebound from that at Trigg County.
Yeah, that one was a shock to me, too. You know, Tillman had been rolling up to that point. They were with one loss. Now they're sitting at 4-2 and going against a 4-2 Trigg County team. And I've actually got Trigg County winning this game this Friday. There's not a whole lot to go on because, you know, Paducah Tillman doesn't have any stats online for you to take a look at. But just based on, you know, some of the scores that you look at and some of the common opponents, I've got Trigg County coming away with this one because Trigg's been consistent on offense this year. And I think they get it done. They'll get about 30 to 35 on offense and pull out the win.
You have McCracken County at Ohio County. They're playing. That's a team that doesn't have a win on the year. That should easily be McCracken.
Yeah.
Crittenden coming off their big win last week. They knocked Union County out of the unbeaten ranks. They're having a big year. Again, they're at Fulton City. That shouldn't really be much of a game. But Union County, I want to see how they bounce back playing at Caldwell County. Caldwell's really good. I'm not sure Union County will be up to the task, but we'll see.
Well, I got to see Union County firsthand. That was who we scrimmaged before the season started. And I'll tell you what, they've got 2 outstanding wide receivers, and their quarterback can put it into spots. So, you know, I haven't seen much of Caldwell County. I've just seen the scores from Caldwell County. So they've been impressive, to say the least. I do think that Union County will find a way to pull out that win against Caldwell, but that's just going on the gut, and that's not seeing any kind of film or anything on them.
One other game, actually 2 I want to talk about, but Hopkinsville at Madisonville, North Hopkins, that is in Callaway's district, so this is kind of big, but Hopkinsville kind of limping around with some injuries.
Yeah, I've got Madisonville, North Hopkins winning that one. Just they're so big defensively, they're opportunistic, and their offense runs through one of the best backs in Region 1, and that's Jeriah Hightower. He has 201 yards, 3 touchdowns last week against Callaway County, and that was just through 3 quarters of play. He didn't even play in the 4th quarter, and that was also with a running clock. So he could have racked up even more if this was a close game. Plus, they looked even more potent the last couple of weeks with their new quarterback under center. They took Reynolds out and put senior J.D. Gilbert in. He's a little more mobile than Reynolds was. And on top of all that, Hopkinsville, of course, playing without their starting quarterback, Bland. And they've struggled to move the ball since losing him for the season. So I think this is another running clock type game right here.
Ballard Memorial at Webster County and also Fulton County getting their first loss last week. They're on the road at Russellville. Will they get back on track?
Well, I'd love to see Fulton County get a win because, you know, I want to see them maintain what they've been doing so that when we go play them, we know what we're in for.
Sure.
I want, you know, our guys to say, this Fulton County team is good. I don't want them to overlook them. So right. I'm looking for Fulton County to get back on track. I think that'd be the best case scenario for Callaway, because if they lose back-to-back, then all of a sudden Callaway is going to think, well, this might be a cakewalk.
Let's talk NFL tonight. It's the Thursday night game. You got the Vikings going up against the Rams. The Rams with some issues at cornerback. One of them won't play. Another one may not play. But they've been really good to this point. How do you see this going tonight?
Well, I got the Rams winning. They're the best team in the league to this point in the season. It's not close. Offense has been on a roll. Stellar defense, and that's despite losing Aqib Talib this week. They're still a top three defense. And then on top of all that, they're facing a Vikings team that many believe will win the NFC North. But after getting drubbed by the Buffalo Bills last week, you know, there's a lot of people second-guessing that pick.
Yeah.
I'll take the Rams 31-10 in that one. I just think that, you know, the Vikings, without Dalvin Cook, are a completely different team, and that's what we saw last week with the Bills. Latavius Murray was missing on blitz pickups all game and caused a couple of fumbles by Cousins because he missed his assignment on these linebacker blitzes. Cook's questionable. He might play tonight. I'm actually keeping an eye on it because he's on one of my fantasy teams, and so he may slide into the lineup, may not. But it's just this Rams defense with Sue and Donald in the middle, it's hard to run on to begin with, and then their secondary has been playing outstanding. The only weakness I've seen in this Rams defense is the middle of the field when you put somebody on a linebacker. The linebackers haven't seemed to cover well. Jared Cook torched them in week one. And so that's the only weakness on a very good team, and so many weapons on offense. You can't really pick one guy to start each week in a daily fantasy because, you know, Gurley had three touchdowns in week two, then he had one in week three because Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cook showed up week three. So it's going to be a win for the Rams, and like I said, I'm calling it 31-10.
The most intriguing game of the weekend, and I'll count Monday Night Football if you want to throw that in there, do you have a pick for that one? What do you think?
Well, it's going to be an off-the-wall pick here, but I really think that the most intriguing storyline, the game that'll be the most interesting to watch, is going to involve those Cleveland Browns again. The Browns versus the Raiders.
Let me smell your drinker. Okay, no alcohol. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, I just think the Browns versus Raiders. We had the Browns winning last week, and I honestly can't believe I'm saying this, but I think they reel off back-to-back wins.
What? No!
And they're going on the road in Oakland. So they look so much more energetic and explosive on offense with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. The Raiders have been unable to establish any defensive pressure whatsoever under new head coach John Gruden, and the offense at this point doesn't appear to have a playmaker that they can go to for the Raiders. I mean, you've got Amari Cooper, but two targets in two of the last three games. I mean, he's been a non-factor for them. Jordy Nelson actually out-touched him last week. So I think it'll still be a close game, and that's part of the reason why I have it as an intriguing matchup. You're going to get to see Baker Mayfield, okay, and you're going to probably see a close game. I've got Cleveland by 4, 21-17.
That ought to be a good one. All right, fantasy lock of the week is what? Any advice you have for our fantasy players?
So the guy you start with confidence this week, and I hate to say it because he's going against my team, and this is the second week in a row that I'm picking a player like this. We didn't talk about last week, but I had Ridley in all my daily fantasy lineups for this reason. Sterling Shepard's going against the Saints secondary that's given up over 10 yards per pass play. It's the same defense that gave up three touchdowns to Calvin Ridley last week. And Ridley and Shepard play a very similar role in their offense. They're the go-to number two. Because Odell Beckham Jr. is going to draw Marshon Lattimore just like Julio did last week. So that's going to leave Shepard matched up on either P.J. Williams or Ken Crawley, and that's a coin flip because they've been rotating that position trying to find somebody that can make a play. P.J. Williams got the start last week. Crawley came in, and he got burned by for a touchdown. So both of them have struggled so far this year. Plus, you're going to have Patrick Robinson out with a broken ankle for the Saints. So that secondary is fully depleted, and it's already been giving up 10 yards per play in the air. I think Sterling Shepard's your start with confidence this week.
All right. Any other fantasy advice you have out there?
Well, this is another crazy, but I'm saying bench Tom Brady this week.
What?
100% bench Tom Brady this week. You can start him with confidence after that, but this week, going against Miami, Miami has forced 7 interceptions through 3 games. They've only allowed 2 passing touchdowns through 3 games. And then you've got New England. They do have 6 touchdowns through 3, but the offense has struggled heavily this year without Edelman because he's been suspended. Hogan and Dorsett have been non-factors, and I expect them to bounce out of the funk next week once they get Edelman back. But for now, if you have Tom Brady in your lineup, bench him. If you got like a Dalton or a Darnold or a Dak Prescott, roll them out with confidence this week and make the move, Brady to the bench, because I don't see him getting more than 15 points this week against this Miami defense.
Wow. All right. You heard it here. Bench Tom Brady. The Dolphins also lead the league in national anthem kneels, so go Patriots. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat with you next week, Blake.
All right.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.